The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Stunt Granny Audio 165. This is the special edition of me going to SmackDown. By me, I mean I'm Jeremy. Kevin's with me.
Hi.
I guess you should have let off since you're kind of the host on this one, but
quite sure what the hell was going on there. So,
well, yeah, we're introducing the show. You know, we're wasting all the good stuff off air. So
great, and And I think actually we're 164. I'm trying to remember what the hell.
I think last night's was 164, which is we always say
163 unless Dusty labeled it wrong.
Let me see. Da-da-da. Oh yeah, okay, so it was 163. All right, so I'll have to change my posting here. But yeah, so anyways, I went to SmackDown last night here in Greenville, South Carolina. Some decent stuff to share. You can go to Twitter and all the other sites and get spoilers. You know, it is what it is. But
Even in the fine metropolis that is Greenville, there are still other people out there sending in their information to the various sites.
Yeah,
I always crack up about the people soliciting for the feedback from the tapings. It's just like, okay, like some of them are so awful. Like you were more informative about some of the matches than some of these chuckleheads that write into the. Maybe it's because you're, doing it on our own site, but it's just like, man, you're writing a report. Like, just don't put like who won and who lost. Like,
yeah.
Well, fill in the blanks a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, if we were actually going to go through, and we've never done this from, I think maybe you did a couple days later about spoilers and worked up an actual report about it. But like Eric went to a Raw, I think he went to a Raw house show. We've gone to the WrestleMania events. I know WrestleMania is kind of different, which is actually something to talk about. But there's no point in giving all this information when by the time someone gets to it. And you even tweeted, kind of not stepping on my toes, but just basically speaking the truth. Granny Mays will be tweeting live from SmackDown tonight, so you will see spoilers that you'll forget by Friday. I mean, that's really the case. So.
When I read them, half the time they're out of my brain, or it's like, as I'm watching, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. When you kind of see something get set in motion, you're like, oh, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah, like for the most part, it's just gone. So it's just like, whatever. And yeah, I think the only time that I did a write-up one time. Like I took all the tweets and kind of compiled them.
That's right.
And yeah, added a little bit of that was the SmackDown earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
And just add a little bit afterwards.
Yeah, so.
Because, I think everyone was slacking off.
Life gets in the way sometimes. But, all right, so I don't know. How do you want to do this? I mean, I guess we need to change it up now, and you need to lead. So.
You brought up some good ones, and I guess they were involved in the tweets a little bit here. But I suppose let's start off with the plebeians that aren't smart enough to come to Stunt Granny for any of their news.
Yeah. Okay. What I was talking to Kevin about before was for anyone who followed my Twitter rampage last night, how Greenville's set up, there's one main road that comes in. Two main roads, and they're crisscross, whatever. Well, where the Bylo Center is, there's one long street, and that's where, no matter who is in town, that's where they all park their rigs. So it takes up the entire street. It's pretty cool. Well, we're walking in, and since I'm cheap, in certain respects, I'll pay extra money for a TV, but I won't pay $5 for parking. I parked all the way out near where we work. So when we were walking by the rigs, I noticed, oh, well, there's an Ezekiel Jackson rig. That one took me by surprise. There was an Undertaker and somebody else, guys who were with the company. Well, in the middle of all of them is Chris Jericho. And I was like, oh, wow, someone needs to update this truck because he's not in the company. So I tweeted, where'd it go? Oh, walking to the Bylo Center, and the WWE fleet has a Chris Jericho rig. OMG, in all caps, of course, Jericho is coming back, LOL. As I'm sitting in my seat in the Bylo Center, the Stunt Granny email account is blowing up. Well, not blowing up, but I'm getting emails saying this person's retweeted this, this person's retweeted. That sarcastic tweet got sent out as if it was real, like, with no one just commenting going, oh, ah, ha, ha, the obvious joke, or WWE needs to get with the times. They were just retweeting my shit, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, just, no, the only thing I can guess is that they thought it was real, or, I don't even know. Like, that LOL at the end, it's just like, it says everything you need. It's like, no.
Yeah.
He's not really coming back. I realize he's not coming back, but it was worth noting.
Yeah, and anyone who follows us knows I would never, ever use that terminology, OMG, LOL. I would never do that. So, I mean, oh, my God. And especially when it was followed by, well, there's a Melina and a Shawn Michaels rig as well. So take that for what it's worth. I mean, whatever. Yeah,
no, they just to me, they probably just don't have or do not want to spend the money to do that.
Yeah, and they probably don't even fucking care. You know, they're just like, yeah, they were with the company, all right, whatever. Oh, yeah, and there on the way out, I noticed there was a Hart Dynasty one with Tyson Kidd, Natalya, and David Hart Smith.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess I should have put, oh, there's a David Hart Smith rig. The Hart Dynasty is getting back together. To see if these idiots would follow with that one, but whatever.
Yeah, and plus, like, just that many people don't see that. Like, I don't ever see them when I come down to the events here because of where I park and everything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I've ever seen them here in town. I mean, obviously they're here, but, you know, I don't give a shit enough about them to go check them out.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. As you walk in, the way they're set up, they've actually got, like, the wrestler RVs for the guys who have their own buses or whatever.
Right.
So you could see Big Show's, Randy Orton, and there was a third one. So I wonder if that was Triple H's, because I know he's involved backstage. And him and Stephanie, I know they've got their own for when they travel.
Okay.
So I wonder if that was theirs or not. I don't know. I mean, I just don't know.
Yeah. Well, she was supposed to be traveling less, but it still could have just been him.
True. Yeah, but it was pretty cool because you hear the stories and you actually get to see. And it's not like they're marked, but for those who know, you just know what they are. So,
yeah.
There's no other story outside of racing. What I think was Randy Orton's bus. I'm pretty sure I was racing that retard. Doing like 80 miles an hour down 385, and I'm barely getting past him. And I was like, holy shit, dude. It was either Big Show or Randy Orton. It's the only thing I could figure out, but I'm pretty sure it was Randy Orton's because I think Big Show's they show was brown at one point.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, I look and I'm like, oh my God. And Elise was going, yeah, that's a private coach. And I'm like, yeah, well, that motherfucker's going to kill somebody, you know, because it's his fault. So.
Yeah, I would imagine it'd be pretty easy to do the math on that too, because, you know, there's not going to be too many custom coaches in downtown insert city here.
Yeah. Yeah. And plus, the only other reason I thought it was Big Show probably was that Big Show was there after the taping ended. Randy Orton was the first one out, which we'll get to in a little bit. Him and Cody started the show. So I figure Randy Orton's long gone by then. I can't imagine he sits around and waits stuff out. When you get to that plateau, I guess you're allowed to not stick around.
What are you going to learn from Ted DiBiase? Aren't they supposed to, though?
Yeah, well, not when you're that high up on the totem pole. I guess you don't have to.
That's just a little weird anyway.
Yeah. And I don't know if it was like this for you, but were your merchandise stands pretty sparse?
Because I don't buy that much, I only kind of take a passing glance at them. Sparse, do you mean was there not much of a crowd there, though? Or do you mean there wasn't much merch there?
Both. Well, no. Okay, and I guess this goes to another point about how different it is. There was not a large crowd for this. And I remember going back when we go to Cleveland or, hell, even WrestleMania. And I guess I need to disqualify WrestleMania because that's a whole other animal. But you walked in, merchandise stand, right next to the entrance. Or you come in, the guy takes you, and you turn to your left, there's a guy selling foam finger or a program or something, you know?
Right.
We walked in, and I wanted to get the new CM Punk shirt while we were there. Well, I couldn't find a stand.
Huh.
And it wasn't that, you know, we went into an odd entrance. You could see people looking back and forth, like, where the hell are the stands at? It was very odd. It was... And I think I described it as a ghost town, but...
Right.
I don't know, maybe it's because it's SmackDown, and no one gives a shit about most of the wrestlers on there, which, you know, don't blame them, but... I don't know.
Yeah.
When you went to Nationwide, were, like, was there merchandise stands in abundance, I guess?
I don't know if they were in abundance, but they were definitely noticeable because... I go in the main entrance all the time, and there was a huge merch stand and a lot of people there.
Yeah.
But the rest of them were not crowded because there's one just up the escalator to get to the second floor there, the concourse. And that one, there were some people there, but the other two that I saw... there was hardly anybody in line. I probably saw three or four on my way to my seat.
Yeah. We saw the one, and that's only because we went out of our way to find it. But then there were two people working this thing. And it was one of the – all right, and the one we went to begin with was one of the large ones. We found another one on the way out when I eventually got a shirt. There were two people working it. And, I mean, that – It was congested. It was like WrestleMania, that outdoor tent where I got my shirt at. It was that congested at that, and there were two people working it. And the guy that was working it was not in a hurry. And he was a young dude, too. So for a business aspect, I thought that was really bad. I mean, I don't know if someone called off or what the hell it was, or who even, you know, if those are WWE people or if they're contractors, whatever it is.
Yeah, well, I know that a lot of the stands at Nationwide are employed by, an outside contractor. I don't know if, you know, the people coming in have any influence over, you know, how many people come that night, or they just kind of estimate by what has happened in the past.
Well, I know a lot of the Bylaw Center, the concession people are volunteers.
Oh.
So you work and, like, your charity gets the money.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that happens, too, because I know that my one coworker did that for the Knights of Columbus for one of the Jackets games.
Yeah. Well, what cracked me up, though, was you could see kids were like, oh, my God, the kids are waiting it out. And they're dragging the mom because the dads who were there were like, hey, I'm going to take a seat. I want to make sure we get to our seats in time. And the wife or girlfriend is like, no, you're not. Stay here. Like, the dads were dropping the kids off like, fuck them, I'm going to watch. I just turned to Elise after, like, my patience is nothing. It was like 2-3 minutes, and the guy's just dragging ass. And I'm like, and the guy in front of us goes, they're going to lose a lot of money this way because the show starts in 15 minutes. And I'm like, yeah, they are. And I was like, we'll get something on the way out if I decide to. So we just left, and But yeah. The merch stand was pretty crazy, though.
That's one of those events, too, that there isn't an intermission. So you can't really go out in between periods, quarters, whatever.
Well, we'll get to that in a second, actually.
Okay.
But no, in reality, you're exactly right. There is no intermission. I mean, even between NXT to Superstars to SmackDown, we've talked about it before, the speed of the production crew, they had those ropes down and back up, and I'd say 5-6 minutes. It was amazing.
Yeah, and that's always just fun to watch.
Yeah. But I don't know. The merch stand was weird, though. There were no Triple H shirts. I thought that was really, really incredible.
Oh, and which did you go with, the City of Chicago flag shirt, or did you go with the ice cream bar shirt?
They didn't have the ice cream one.
Oh,
they had the white one with the red fist with the thunder or lightning bolt.
Yeah, that is the Chicago flag, basically.
Okay. Well, yeah, but it doesn't have the date on the bottom of it like the Chicago ones did. Which is fine. But
yeah.
Yeah, it fit. I made sure and tried this one on. So it's funny how you lose weight, stuff fits easier. So, yeah, but no, there's a lot of Sin Cara stuff. He's got a hat. It's his mask on top of a hat. It's like, ugh.
Those things were weirdly popular down at the Pumpkin Festival. All the kids were wearing, like, bears and lions and other things in those kind of snow cap kind of a deal. And I don't know if they were going off of that type of inspiration for the Sin Cara mask hat.
Yeah, well.
That really sounded like ass hat.
Pretty much, because it fits his wrestling style. So they had the WrestleMania shirt for him, and then they had, like, a mask you could buy. Like, the old Kane mask where it had, like, the black strap on. You could do one of those.
Right.
yeah. But Randy Orton had this really horrible shirt of him, like, in the Viper, like, the pose before he's, like, getting ready to do the RKO. And on the back, it just said RKO or Orton or something. And... Yeah, there was a certain part of the audience I was like, they're going to eat that shit up. It's a horrible shirt. Just terrible. But the crowd, But no, I think, yeah. The crowd was something to behold. And
okay.
It was just...
I was waiting for you to come up with something.
All right. Remember when we used to go and it was really popular, obviously, so it was sold out. And you had people our age or kids our age at that point. It was like a party. It was like something, the coolest thing in town to go to. That's not what these are anymore. And I thought about it as we were sitting there. I don't remember the last time I went to a non-WrestleMania weekend event for WWE.
No.
I think SmackDown episode here, but that was when Benoit was still wrestling. So, I mean, and he was on SmackDown. But, I mean, I don't know if you had this too. Our row of the 14 seats, I'd say 8 were children. Behind us was a bunch of just guys who saved all their money up to get these tickets. And then just kids everywhere. And I know we saw them at WrestleMania, but, I mean, it was like an anthill. You shook up one of the seats, and boom, there they were. They were everywhere.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, it wasn't that heavy. Like, I mean, I'm not going to say that there weren't more kids there than, you know, back when you're talking about late 90s, early aughts.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, you know, completely ridiculous in that department. And maybe it's just the, you know, the area that I was in, too. I don't know. But even then, you know, I kind of go back to that theory that, you know, even if it's PG, you can still kind of make it feel like a party atmosphere, even for the kids. And they haven't really done that either.
No. Well, but kids have no attention span. These retards were running all, I mean, we were on the floor and we had the production guys right behind us. So we had, and we had that, crane cam.
Oh.
So they kept rolling that back and forth behind us. And boy, they sure get low with that thing. I almost got hit in the head a couple times. I mean, I'm sure to them it was nothing because they're professionals, so they're not going to worry about it.
Right.
But you'd turn and they'd be coming right at your head. It's like, holy shit. But, no, I just, and I know we talked about it. You know, any combination of us have talked about it. And I thought last night was just eye opening that we are not the audience for this stuff anymore. And that was such a sobering thing. I mean, I was enjoying it. But there was no like rowdiness to it. Like, Mark Henry comes out. You didn't get your contingency of like those asshole fans who were cheering for the bad guys no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, and like just talking shit to each other. I mean, there's like this little 6-year-old girl with like Coke bottle glasses on, and she's like, let's go, Sheamus, and her little voice, and she's yelling for Daniel Bryan to beat Mark Henry. She's like, knock him out, Big Show. I mean, she gives you nothing. You just want to turn around and be like, well, you can't do anything, so you can't even be like anything because there's a 6-year-old girl or four. I don't know. I can't judge kids' ages, but there's none of that atmosphere of like, you know, Hardy's, you got your Hardy fans, and then so the Edge and Christian fans would taunt them.
Right. Yeah, there's no opposition except for John Cena fans.
But even that, man. Well, I mean, Cena wasn't there, but you know how you used to boo, like people would boo when people would show up on videos.
Right.
Or cheer. Like they showed an Austin video. Nothing. They showed The Rock showing up. Yay. Cena shows up. Yay, boo, yay. And nothing.
Yeah, no, the reactions, I think part of it, at least in my experience, was the size of the crowd. You know, when you're almost double that, like that time that you guys came down to Nationwide not long after I moved down here, mm-hmm. you know, that place holds 16 plus.
Mm-hmm.
There was 10 max when I went a couple of months ago
for Raw.
And I mean, okay, yeah, it's not double the size of the crowd, but it's close. You know, I mean, you get an extra 6,000 people screaming, it's going to make a difference. Because, I mean, that place was going pretty good, even for the Blue Jackets opener.
Yeah.
Granted, it hasn't been going good ever since that for the Blue Jackets, but...
Yeah. Well, see, that's funny, though, that you mentioned, like, that extra 6,000, because when I got to the Bilo Center, and first, you always know it's light attendance by traffic in Greenville. So we got immediately downtown, got a spot, walk, we were there. No haggle at the door, no traffic, nothing. So I was like, oh boy, this isn't good. Well, we got in there. I've never seen this before for a WWE show of any sort. The entire upper section was tarped off. The entire upper section. And they even had pieces of the lower bowl tarped over. I mean, I understand this is SmackDown, but maybe my impression of WWE is way too large of how much they actually matter. I was shocked when I saw that. Now, I'll give them credit. The lower bowl for the parts that were open, all those were sold out. I mean, it was a sold-out house for what was open. There weren't any empty seats anywhere, or sections, nothing.
Yeah, no, I mean, they've got to know that they're doing that, like, just in advance, just with their ticket sales. Either that or they've got to upgrade people one way or the other. Because, I mean, I know that those tickets are available, you know, when you look at the arena, or at least I think they are.
That was the other thing I was going to try and figure out like when you buy tickets, they show you all the sections, and they had upper bowl for sale. So I just wonder if they're like, now you got moved here now, to make it look more make it look more packed, basically. but I mean, that it was just such a shock. And I think it just goes back to being spoiled, being at 70, 80,000 seats. And then the next day at Raw, everything sold out because all those people, you know, got Raw tickets as well.
Yeah. Or at least some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it is entirely different going to that packed house, even in the shithole that is Atlanta as far as fandom goes. And, yeah, no, it's a huge difference. It's pretty wild what happens or what has happened.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. Again, it's one of those things that I just, it could, I mean, you might not like it, but there could be, you know, more kids in attendance.
I think there's absolutely no doubt about that.
You know, that's fine. That's their crowd that they're going for. They're not really going all out for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought Raw was a perfect example, and Dusty and I talked about this last night. You know, make the Muppets a little more accessible or something like that. Like, it, you know, if you're going in on the kid thing, go for it, man. Don't, like, half-ass it and still try to be edgy sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing in The Rock doesn't really help that matter.
Yeah. I didn't get a chance to listen to the show yet, so.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But, well, no, you know, I just thought I'd throw that in there since we're kind of doing a give and a take about the recent experiences that we've had since. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Eric went to the house show, but that's still even different. Like, I don't even bother. Like, they come to house show here, you know, usually once a year. It's just like, no, buzz off.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm not spending my money on that. I'm spending my money only when you're on TV.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. They have had events here for non-Raw, non-televised events. And, Lisa, are we going to go? No. There's no point. If I knew they mattered, I guess if there were more people that I would be interested in seeing. Now, if it was Raw, you may be able to convince me with Punk. Yeah. So no.
Yeah. No.
But you're right to say they should just go all in, and dude, it's like I'm saying. I think it is slowly, in my experience yesterday, that it did work because you didn't see that younger gen. What would they be now? We were Gen X. So
why?
Are we at Gen Y or Gen Z?
Yeah, the one below us is Y, which would be about the demographic we were at that time.
Okay.
At least some of them. I mean, it's kind of a large chunk of years. You know, it's like 30 years or something like that.
Yeah. But no, man. I mean, you don't see any of them. You don't see those college kids there. What I saw last night were families, diehards, and I guess that's what we are.
Yeah.
And then dirty country bastards that I don't know. Maybe it's the divorce. I've honestly been trying to work this out in my head. I have no compassion, or I don't sit there and look at somebody now and go, well, at least you're living your lifestyle. And no, you're a dirty motherfucker. You're just. You're not worth the air you take in. And I know I should feel bad about that, but I don't anymore. I don't care. Dude, we're in line, and I kept trying. This lady dropped her hat. I'm trying to do something nice. I pick it up, and I'm tapping on the shoulder going, excuse me, ma'am. Excuse me, ma'am. She won't turn around. So Elise, and you know her squeaky voice, excuse me, ma'am. She won't listen.
Oh, jeez.
So I'm just, she won't turn around. And I'm like, motherfucker, I'm not, and we're in the merchandise stand on the way out. And I want to just hit her with the hat and go, do you think I'm trying to cut in line? You're next. You're next. I have 2 seconds to wait. You're out of the way. This is all going through my head as I'm just holding the hat. So finally, I just go, excuse me, you drop this. She turns around. She's got that meth mouth, just wrinkled face like a dried up apple. She's got two fat little country kids in front of her. And she's like, oh, well, thank you. Takes it and walks off. And I'm just looking like, you dirty motherfucker. Ugh. Leaves her two kids behind. So these two stammering jackasses are just sitting there going, you've had 15 minutes to get something, kid. Figure it out. So, of course, he picks out the one thing he doesn't have enough money for. He turns around and starts going, Mama! Mama!
Regular ray of sunshine you are.
Name me one person in the history of the world that talked like that that ever made a difference. They don't exist. They never existed. Maybe John Wilkes Booth. I don't know what he sounded like. And he may not have made a positive difference, but he made a difference. So I just turned to Elise and look at her. And I'm like, oh, God. I don't know if I can do this anymore. I think we just have to stick to the WrestleMania stuff. And she goes, oh, that's fine. So you can tell she enjoyed herself. But no, dude, it just looked like a bunch of people that saved their money up. I mean, for all year, they saved their money up to buy these $25 or whatever, I don't remember how much it was, tickets to go to this thing and buy their merch, and that's all they're doing. Like, Christmas came on November 1st in Greenville.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I don't think it's ever, I mean, not to say that the crowd is ever, you know, a bunch of richy bitchies or anything like that, but, I don't remember the crowd being quite that bad here in town. But, you know, like how you were saying the attendance was or the groupings were,
yeah.
That I would definitely agree with, where there's no one in that, like, 18 to, I don't know, 28 or something like that. You know, you've got to be, like, old enough to have kids that wanted to go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's say 18 to 30 or something, just as a generic. You have kids now that are old enough to go to this type of event.
Mm-hmm.
Those types of people were definitely the majority at my event. And then there's just, yeah, like me and some other guys that, yeah, you could tell that they had stuck around because they were talking about Kane with a mask on and stuff like that. I'm like... And it was almost kind of funny because some of the stuff that you're talking about, they were just, I was just like, you do realize, like, as I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, because they're like two rows either in front or behind me, where the hell ever. And I'm like, you guys realize this is for kids now, right? Like, I'm fully aware of this. I don't have a problem. Like, I'm still here. I understand. Like, if you guys are this smart, shouldn't you realize that it's been years at this point?
Mm-hmm.
That they haven't geared it towards us.
Yeah. Yeah. I always knew it wasn't geared much more, but honestly, last night was that was the big.
Yeah, like actually seeing it.
Yeah. And just seeing how kids reacted and like who they reacted to and how they did. Like Daniel Bryan, who, you know, for us, you know, that's one of the guys to get behind.
Right.
Just because we know what he's capable of doing in the ring. They just go like, yay, Daniel. Oh, Big Show. Hey. And, but one guy, like I said, we're not going to go too much into the spoilers, but one guy, and they just need to fire him. He's not selling merch. And Greenville has a large, Mexican population. I don't like saying Latino because that implies everywhere. They have a large Mexican population.
Gotcha.
No one was cheering for Sin Cara.
Oh, really?
No.
Okay.
He came out and his music started. And... okay. And then he comes out and the biggest pop was because I forgot about his fireworks. And we were right behind, right in front of those fireworks.
Oh.
it felt like I was getting pushed when those things would go off. It was awesome. I scared the hell out of me because I forgot about Sin Cara's. But,
yeah.
So those popped. He did the jump. There was a polite smattering of applause and then a big turd sound from in the ring and around the ring.
Yeah, and I think I ended up seeing him before he got suspended. And he was still getting a good reaction, but, you know, I guess to me that's still just another one where they just haven't done a good enough job.
Yeah.
You know, to get those people invested in it. I mean, there were less people when we probably went as kids. Like, I mean, I went to the Jaffa Mosque of all places where there maybe was like 3,000, 4,000 people at most in the fine, fine city of Altoona, Pennsylvania, not the crappy one in Iowa or Wisconsin.
All I heard you say was you went to a mosque, and I was like, oh, God, here comes that Al-Qaeda rumor again.
But, you know, like, everyone always seemed into it. I mean, we had to go there to see WrestleMania. My older brother got guilted into taking me to go see WrestleMania 2 there. Because
what else is Bond going to do? Shut up and go.
Yeah, whatever teenage brother wants to do, take his younger brother to go watch wrestling.
Yeah, true.
Yes, that's every 16-year-old's dream, waste 4 hours on professional wrestling.
Well, you know.
But, you know, just that kind of thing, like, that crowd of 4,000 was into it. You know, everyone was cheering, and I mean, it was a house show, even. And maybe it's just because it's the times that maybe, but I mean, you were at a taping.
Yeah.
And you had talked, you had mentioned to me at least one of your topics was about the canned audience stuff.
Yeah.
And you actually heard it in there?
Yeah, thank you. I forgot about that. Yes. It was pretty clear they were shitting on certain people. But like Ted DiBiase came out. And that music, that terrible music, I Come From Money, I think it is. That's the first line.
Yeah.
It's like, I come from money. Hey, yay. And I'm like, who the hell's cheering? I'm looking around, and it sounds like the whole crowd's going crazy. They're adding canned applause. And only applause. I never heard booing or, you know, a negative response. I never heard that. But he was one. Who else? Alicia Fox was the other one. I guess to get the reaction, you know, to try and trick people into booing Natalya.
Oh.
But she got a bigger face pop, natural face pop than Natalya, or Alicia Fox did. But I was very surprised by that. And I'm guessing that Alicia Fox now is the new, like, builder up girl for the moment.
Yep. Well, yeah, aside from the fact that they had Eve end up winning the Battle Royal, which was a bit of a head-scratcher. But, yeah, they definitely – that's why I assumed in my blog that Alicia Fox was going to win that Battle Royal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would make sense, yeah. Disappointing part, Alicia Fox isn't as cute in person as she is on TV. I thought I was kind of disappointed by that.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly had better seats to judge some of that stuff by than I have in either of my viewings this year.
Yeah. Well, the ones that impressed, though, and this is the sexist part, so let's deal with it.
Yeah.
That Caitlyn chick, or woman, excuse me, Caitlyn, she's really pretty on TV. She is stunning in person. Holy shit, dude. I know Dusty has, like, wet himself over her, and with absolute cause now. She's got muscles, but she's not, like, intimidating muscle-wise. She's – and, of course, Elise is like – her extensions are just annoying. I'm like, just shut up. I don't care. And I was like, those are extensions? She's like, yes, there's no way that's her natural hair. I'm like, so? I don't care. Those tits aren't natural either. I don't care. It doesn't matter. But I was shocked how stunningly beautiful she was.
Gotcha.
That AJ girl, the pixie-ish.
Yep, her tag team partner, basically.
Yes, I mean, the Chickbusters, yes.
They actually call them the Chickbusters sometimes.
Yes, they call themselves, yeah. I think it's kind of a cool little nickname, but if they're never on TV, it doesn't really apply. But,
when they do get on TV, it's to lose.
Yeah, NXT. Well, no, Caitlyn won. She beat that Tamina. Beat Tamina, who I think they're missing a very big opportunity with. You don't have to have her talk, but dude, she's mannish, and she looks legit tough. And her and Caitlyn, it's actually a match to watch on NXT. They beat the hell out of each other. I mean, it was clear, like, they were hitting each other, forearms, elbows, not the elbow, but not the point of the elbow, more triceps.
Yeah.
Like, just straight in the shoulder, chest. And, I mean, you could hear them thumping each other. And I'm like, why isn't this on real TV? I mean, these two were bruising each other. The crowd was getting behind it.
Uh-huh.
And then Caitlyn wins at the end. I was like, all right, cool. But I was just like, you know, to me, she's got kind of a calm sort of, like, legitimacy. Like, you look at her going, she could probably fuck some of these girls up pretty good.
Yeah, I always imagined that they would put a little more energy behind her simply because of that. Like, I think I mentioned when Kong was around that, you know, physically, her, Eve, and is there anyone else really? Oh, Beth Phoenix and Natalia. Yeah. Are the only ones that you go, oh, okay. You know, they have a shot.
Yeah.
And because Tamina is a big, big woman.
Yes. No, she really is. And I think that's what adds to her legitimacy, though. I mean, she can't talk, and she's not that good looking, so it's not going to work with her. I mean, you know, so whatever. But it's one of those things where it's like, wow, there is money there. But no, going to AJ... She's adorable. I mean, she's like one of those like not prickly, real bouncy, energetic types, but not annoying.
Gotcha.
So I thought that was kind of cool. And then the other one that surprised in person was Natalia. She's not nearly as big in person as she looks like on TV.
Like,
and that's
bulk
the old,
wise or height wise.
Bulk wise.
Okay.
Because. And this is no disrespect to her. She doesn't look sloppy, okay? Not at all.
Right.
She looks a little softer than the stick figures that you get with the other chicks.
Yeah.
But she doesn't look that soft in person. Like, from her waist up, she just looks like a normal chick.
Oh, gotcha. Not,
but, like, the waist down, I mean, she's got an ass on her. Like, and some big ass legs too. So she could probably kick some walls over with those things. But I don't know. That was just a weird observation. Like, everybody else kind of appeared the way I expected them to.
Uh-huh.
Big Show is just a monster. Mark Henry is too. And I told Elise, I was like, here comes Big Show. Just now you're going to see what I'm talking about. Cause I kept telling her how big he is in person.
Yeah, I'll never get that out of my head when we saw him at the Royal Rumble talking to the Hardys.
Yeah.
Like that, I mean, we were fairly close, but it's still just like, dear Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably before he added the extra 50 pounds that he has on now.
Yeah. Dude, I disagree with you on the weight thing. I think he's lost weight since he was on last.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, but I just mean, like, when we saw him. How long ago was that? Like 8 years ago now?
Yeah, I think so. Good God.
I mean, it was before he added, you know, a bunch of that weight. Like, he was still pretty thin back then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, now he definitely lost weight from the last time that he was on TV. But it wasn't like it wasn't as big as that loss that he had when he took, what was it, a couple of years off or something of the sort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just left for a while.
Yeah.
It's just smart.
Yep, rest up. You have the money. Do it.
Yeah. Big Show and Mark Henry continue to impress me. And they were busted ass. Big Show, he was in the tag match. He did some other stuff on the show. But when he's in there, he's not loafing. And I used to criticize him all the time for being lazy and this and this. I mean, I don't think my opinion matters at all, but that's why I texted you or tweeted you, whatever it was, Monday. That man is busting ass.
Oh, right.
And he did it again Tuesday for a while until they had the dark match, the tag match. You saw Sheamus came down to be his partner, and Big Show, he's talking to Sheamus. Big Show steps out of the ring. Sheamus looks, and Big Show goes, "I've done my work," and shoot him off. And then someone was talking to Big Show, and Show turns around and just shrugs his shoulder and goes, "I'm lazy." And I just want to be like, no, you're not. You're like a 400-something pound man, and you took no time off in that match Monday, and you've been running around Tuesday as well. I think you're allowed to stand on the ring apron for a while. But I mean, it was funny because he got Mark Henry. You'll see it Friday. And this was, besides Randy Orton, a genuine crowd pop. Mark Henry, out of the blue, picks up Big Show and gives him the world's strongest slam. And he didn't struggle. It was up, down, just like that. And the whole crowd just went, oh. I looked at Elisa. She even looked at me like, wow. I was like, holy shit. But Mark Henry's another one, man. The wrestling for Friday is really good. Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes have a really good street fight. Daniel Bryan, Mark Henry was getting good, and then it abruptly ends when Big Show punches Mark Henry. What the hell else was on there? God, I forgot already. So I'm looking.
Christian, Barrett.
Oh, Barrett and Sheamus is really good too. And that was a sarcastic tweet about giving that away, a future main event, pay-per-view main event for free. I mean, it's years down the road, but Barrett's the real deal, and Sheamus is as well, so.
Yeah, no, I didn't think that was sarcastic at all, really, because, I mean, you had said years down the road or something like that. I mean, you had made it at least clear to me that you weren't thinking, well, okay, I guess the giving it away part is that way, but.
Yeah, but they held back enough. If you want to go this route, they didn't give you everything, but they gave you a lot, and it was really good. Of course, I'm high on both of those guys, anyways. So, and this was also the match that allowed me to taunt one of the 6-year-old kids who was cheering for Sheamus the entire time.
Yes, Jay.
So as soon as Wade Barrett won, it was like WrestleMania all over again. I just started cheering just to rub it in. I don't care. You know what? I'm toughing that kid up. So, your team's not always going to win, kid. So deal with it.
Yep.
But no, the wrestling's good. Cody Rhodes, Orton went, I think I said 20 minutes. I'd say maybe a little bit longer. I'll be curious to see where they cut it on TV.
Gotcha.
Because Orton actually got a cut on the top of his head and kept bleeding all over. But he's got just enough hair where it wasn't just pouring out. It was just turned the top of his head red.
Oh. Yeah.
And then it actually got underneath Cody Rhodes' mask.
Oh.
So I don't know if they just stopped recording or what happened, because the announcers stopped talking. So I figured they were a commercial break. Or they were just like, we're not wasting our breath.
No.
Cody Rhodes actually took his mask off. A guy ran down and gave him a towel. Cody Rhodes dried his entire body off to make sure there was no blood on him. Wiped his face off, cleaned the mask off, put the mask on. It wasn't set right, so he put it back on again. But all this while, Orton was in the ring doing something. Like either recovering or just playing to the crowd or something.
Uh-huh.
It was a really awkward break. And then later on, out of the blue, a laundry basket of towels shows up. on the, and we had the production guys right behind us. That was the most interested they looked in the entire show.
Oh, when that happened, when they had to bring the towels down?
Yeah, they all had their gloves on, they had the chemical spray, and they had their towels. As soon as that match ended, boom, like ants everywhere, just cleaning, wiping stuff down, spraying and cleaning. It was crazy. And then they went right back to not paying attention. You think...
Yeah, well, the director wasn't paying attention on Monday, so I shouldn't be surprised that the rest of the employees aren't paying attention on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the fireworks guy was probably doing his job, but it was so quiet in there, you could hear them talking. And, I mean, they weren't talking about work either. It was like, yeah, well, this guy, blah, 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 or, you know, I'm going out and doing this, and... You turn around. I turn around after a while, like looking, like, "What are you guys talking about? Shut up!" When I turn around, this was the saddest part of the evening. There's wee old Trent Beretta sitting with those production guys by himself, just on his phone.
Oh, he wasn't helping them out. He was just on his phone.
Yeah, he's just in street clothes, sitting there. And it wasn't that he wasn't even watching the matches. He was just playing with his phone. It was very bizarre to me, because I don't remember the production guys being right on the floor with the audience. I always figured they were backstage or something.
Oh. Yeah, well, they're usually, well, at least I think, they're usually across, I've tended to sit on the one side across from the crane camera that you're talking about. And I've seen them all back on the far side of the ramp area. They're kind of back in there.
That's where they usually are, but not this time. They were spread out all the way down the side. It was very, very weird. I don't know why it was like that, unless they just didn't have room. So, I know we're going kind of almost to the hour mark, so to wrap it up real quick. One other observation that was funny, this goes back to Sin Cara. They shot an angle. And of course, Sin Cara blew three or four moves, and I'm not exaggerating. They tried doing one blown spot over again and blew it again. So the first time it happened, I told Lisa, I was like, they're going to redo that. They finally got around to redoing it and blew it again, and I was like, there's no chance that's making it on TV. All of a sudden, some guy like resembling Anarchia from TNA comes in and helps Epico beat Sin Cara down. And I was actually proud of this. I was proud of this tweet. I said, I think they woke up a cricket for the lone reaction to that angle.
Okay, so it wasn't the other Sin Cara that came down to beat him down. It was two people?
Isn't Epico... Epico is the black Sin Cara, isn't he?
Oh, okay. Was that what they ended up naming him? Like, I don't know why I didn't remember him really saying a name this past Friday.
Yeah, I thought they were just going to go with Hunico, which he was in Florida, but now it's Epico. So what the fuck ever. It's a co, you know?
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, but then some other guy runs down, and he's the stereotypical, like, Mexican gangbanger. Blue bandana, shitty goatee. He's got the white almost like Conan. White t-shirt with the button down blue shirt, but only the top button's buttoned. And it just screamed indie. It was not good. So
yeah, well, Alicia's plus going, he was a Mexican gangster from what, 20 years ago at this point?
Yeah. But yeah, it was just, there was no reaction. So it was like someone just, the visual of someone like taking a cricket and poking it just to make a noise just cracked me up. So,
yeah,
but yeah,
that's one of those ones. I don't know if we talked about that with the Raw there, that they're, you know, going for that international audience more with the stuff that they're doing even here.
Yeah. And that's fine, but. You got to do something.
Yeah.
You can't.
It doesn't help out.
No, adding stereotypical Mexican gangster doesn't help.
But we know they love the stereotypes in the WWE, so.
Yeah.
My level of shock and surprise is somewhere between zero and none.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's really it. And it's and one thing I'll give, I know I kind of bagged the production guys for being uninterested, and they were uninterested. They're professionals when it comes to running that show, and there was, as soon as he was cut, boom, there were towels. We didn't even see anyone run out with them. Boom, they were there. And they cleaned up, gone. Changed ropes, gone. Changed the ring up and gone. It was just seamless. And I think that's where I think McMahon's got that company. It's got to be like top notch. You know what I'm talking about? It's got to be at the height of professionalism and how they run stuff.
Right.
Now if they could just get their fucking product to match.
Yeah, they're extremely professional except for the writing portion of their
except for the parts that make them money. Yeah. But I don't know. It was an interesting evening, dude. It was really eye opening, and I don't know. They advertised a Raw Super Show for June 4th of next year. So apparently the Super Shows are going to keep going. They go on sale November 18th. You put WrestleMania tickets on that far in advance, not fucking Raw.
Yeah, that's something else that I would forget in about a heartbeat.
If I bought tickets, I'd forget about them. Hell, I almost forgot I had SmackDown tickets. But now, so I mean, that's really about it. It's really become clear outside of WrestleMania, the audience for people like us is dwindled or gone. And I think CM Punk could have changed some of that, because they got people who weren't watching wrestling to even at least talk about it, and they fucked that up badly. So,
yeah. And that really can be another conversation for another day, because I think we've already beaten that horse.
Yeah.
A lot, honestly. And even during this audio.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for letting me talk at you.
hey, you know, that's what it was about. I definitely added my 5 cents, because I mean, it's nice having somebody else to, you know, that it went to a similar live event. Like, as you noted, like, none of us have really gone to too many. Well, none of us. I've been the only one going to the live events outside of WrestleMania. So, I mean, it's kind of interesting to, you know, I guess you brought up some points that I didn't necessarily remember. Or maybe I don't know if I remarked about when we did the shows this way with me.
Yeah, we might have.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Right. We doubled down. I think it was it was a good time.
All right. Well, I guess I'll do the things. All right. Drop us a line, stuntgranny@gmail.com. You know, send us whatever you want. You follow us on Twitter @stuntgranny, @grannymaze. That's me. @thefringo11s. Kevin, @dustygibbings. Dusty. Eric's is what?
Ho in Iowa.
Okay.
At
Ho
in Iowa.
Everyone is Eric's birthday. I don't know where I was with the plugs when that happened. So just, yeah. So just, you know, hit us up. Don't hit us up. Listen, don't listen. Visit, don't visit. Eric's birthday's Friday. All right, I'm going to get out of here. Late.
Okie doke. Time to go grab a sippy time beer and enjoy the rest of my evening. Hope you guys enjoyed the audio goodness, grandkids.
How's that for pile driving, Miss Daisy?